today I want to start out with a little story for you guys.
For you, sir.
I love having you guys right here. This is awesome. So a few years ago, I was invited to a very special dinner. And this is the type of dinner that you get invited to where it's going to be in a fancy restaurant. I'm going to get to wear a fancy dress. There's some important people who are going to be there, people that you don't normally get to share a meal with, much less even meet, like that kind of event. And to top it off, one of the people that was going to be there was actually someone I have wanted to meet my entire life. It would just make my day to shake this person's hand and get to meet them, right? This is an opportunity you don't pass up, right? Like you don't want to miss it. But guess what I did? Missed it. I made an excuse and I didn't go. You see, here's the thing. I have a pet hamster. You may not have known that. So I have this pet hamster. Her name is Peanut, and I love my pet hamster. So I have a rule that she's never allowed to be left at home alone, because what if something happens? I mean, she's just a little hamster, right? Like she's not going to be able to get herself out of there if something happens. What if she gets stuck in her little wheel and she can't get out? So I always make sure someone is there to babysit my pet hamster anytime away from the house, even to come to church on Sunday morning. So on this particular day, there was nobody available to watch my hamster. So I made an excuse. I told him, sorry, I can't come. Nobody can watch my hamster, so I can't make it to this event, and I missed out. So weeks later, all the friends who ended up going to the dinner, they're sharing stories. They're talking about the conversations people had, all the laughter, the selfies that were taken, all the things. And here I sat thinking, what was I thinking? I let a hamster keep me from a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity. What is wrong with me? Well, if you don't know me, my name is Michelle York, and I am on staff here at Christ the King Church. And before you get too concerned that they've hired someone who actually values a hamster that much, that story was not true. Okay, so everybody today is like, I didn't know you had a hamster. It's not true. I did not stay home. I did not let a hamster keep me from going to anything. It was just an illustration. Because in that moment, like in that story, right, it felt like that was a good enough reason for me not to go. But how often do we actually do that in life? How often do we get invited into something amazing or to something amazing, an experience that could possibly change our life for the better, but we make these little excuses of why we can't go and we miss out? Now, it sounds funny and pretty much ridiculous whenever it's a hamster, right? But we do that. Sometimes we do it with Jesus's invitation to each of us. We will let something as small as a hamster keep us from accepting his invitation, right? Those little small excuses. So we've been in a series called A Seat at the Table. Each week we've had a differently beautifully set table up here as we talk about our invitation to Jesus's table, right? And it's a great illustration of what that means. So if you've missed any part of the series, I do want to encourage you to go online and listen to them. They have been so impactful. They have been amazing messages. Pastor Kyle and Pastor Craig have brought those messages these past few weeks. You want to go listen to them because you don't want to miss them. But today we're going to go into talking about the powerful invitation that Jesus extends to us and how his table is a place where strangers become friends and life becomes rich. But first, we need to recognize our excuses, our hamsters that we've been using to keep us from accepting his invitation. So, you know, there's something really special about sitting at a table with someone. Would you agree with that? Like sharing a meal, it's not just about the food. Now, the food is important. I'm a foodie. I like good food, right? Like the food's great, but that's not what it's about. It's more than that. When you sit at a table with someone, you truly connect with them, right? Like it's a great opportunity for connection and conversation and all those things. You build relationships. And if you think about it, the table was central to a lot of Jesus's ministry when he was here on earth. We see him over and over and over again sitting at tables with people, right, throughout his entire ministry. And he's sitting with people from all walks of life. Some were the least expected, right? They were outcasts, they were sinners, they were the people that society had completely written off. And yet Jesus, at his table, those barriers are broken down, right? Strangers become friends when we are sitting at Jesus's table. A simple meal can be a complete transformation for our lives. So that's the power of Jesus's table. It's not just a place to eat. It's an invitation. It's an invitation into relationship, into friendship, into purpose, into mission, right? That is what this table represents. It's where we can come just as we are, as messy as we are, and Jesus meets us with his arms wide open every single time. So today, we are sitting, not literally, but we are sitting at a table just as Jesus did. And just as he invited people to sit with him and be transformed, that invitation is extended to each and every single one of us today and every day. It's an invitation to experience his richness, the richness of his love, and to connect with others, and then to be sent out into the world with a new mission. Because Jesus' table, this table, changes everything. So let's dig in. We're going to begin by going into the Gospel of Mark. It's going to be up on the screen for you. Mark 2, starting with verse 13. We're going to see Jesus performing one of his possibly most radical and most compassionate acts in the Bible. And it reads, "And he went out again beside the sea, and all the crowd was coming to him, and he was teaching them. And as he passed by, he saw Levi, the son of Alphaeus, sitting at the tax booth. And he said to him, 'Follow me.' And he rose and followed him. As he reclined at the table in his house, many tax collectors and sinners were reclining with Jesus and his disciples, for there were many who followed him. And the scribes of the Pharisees, when they saw what he was eating with sinners and tax collectors, said to his disciples, 'Why does he eat with tax collectors and sinners?' And when Jesus heard it, he said to them, 'Those who are well have no need of a physician, but those who are sick. I came not to call the righteous, but sinners.'" So this piece of scripture teaches us about a time when Jesus invited Levi, a tax collector, to follow him. Now, tax collectors, if you don't know, they were not liked, okay? People did not like the tax collectors because, one, they worked for the oppressive Roman government, and two, they would take extra money that they weren't actually supposed to take just to make themselves richer, right? So people did not like them. They saw them as traitors. To be a tax collector would be like to be a pariah. And if you don't know the meaning of that word, that means like you're an outcast, you're despised, like no one wants to be around you, no one trusts you, all the things. And yet Jesus, when he sees Levi, he doesn't condemn him. No, what does he do? He says, "Hey, come, follow me." He invites him in, even though he's messy and he's a sinner and he's all the things. But Jesus doesn't stop there. He goes even further. He not only invites him to follow him, next he goes and he sits at Levi's table with him and with all the other sinners and tax collectors and outcasts of the society. And the Pharisees, who were the religious leaders, you know, they were outraged. Like, what is he doing? Why is he sitting with these people? Why does he communicate with them? Why does he have a relationship with them? And Jesus' only response is, well, the healthy people don't need a doctor. The sick people do. I'm here to save the sinners. So who was at Jesus' table? The unlikeliest of people, the tax collectors, the outcasts, those labeled as sinners or those labeled as not good enough, right? Those are the people that were sitting there. Those people, have you ever heard that, right? Those people, right? That's who was sitting at Jesus' table. These are the people that others have avoided and judged, but Jesus welcomed them. He broke down all the social and religious barriers that were built up and invited them into relationship. And at Jesus' table, no one is disqualified. Everyone is welcome to sit here. We actually have different chairs around the table today to show you that we're all different. It's diversity, right? Every single person, no matter how messy or broken or sinful you are, there's a chair for you at Jesus' table. The very people who feel unworthy, though, are typically the ones that feel the most welcomed at Jesus' table. Isn't that amazing? So, maybe you've experienced something like that in your life. Have you ever been in a situation where you felt like you were being judged by someone? You felt like an outsider? You felt like you didn't quite belong there? Have you ever been in a situation where you felt that way? But with Jesus, what does he say to you? You belong here. Not just that you're welcome here. He says, you belong here. In Luke 19, starting with verse 1, it says, "He entered Jericho and was passing through, and behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus. He was a chief tax collector and was rich, and he was seeking to see who Jesus was. But on account of the crowd, he could not see because he was small in stature," meaning he was short, right? So he ran on ahead and climbed up a sycamore tree. Who's singing the song in their head right now? Yep. He climbed up a sycamore tree to see him, for he was about to pass that way. And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and said to him, "Zacchaeus, hurry up and come down, for I must stay at your house today." So he hurried and he came down and he received him joyfully. And when they saw it, they all grumbled. "He has gone in to be the guest of a man who is a sinner?" And Zacchaeus stood and said to the Lord, "Behold, Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor, and if I have defrauded anyone of anything, I restore it fourfold." And Jesus said to him, "Today salvation has come to this house." So here we see another powerful example of Jesus welcoming the unlikely to his table. Zacchaeus, like Levi, was a tax collector, but here's the thing. He wasn't just a tax collector, he was the chief tax collector. So that means he was even worse, right? Like he was a bigger deal. He was rich, he was really stealing from people, he was very wealthy, overcharging all of his friends, and people did not like him. But Jesus invited himself to dine with the social outcast, a man that everybody despised. And just like that, when he did that, Zacchaeus' life was completely transformed. We see that in the story. So what happens when people sit at Jesus' table? Lives are changed. When Zacchaeus came to the table, he repented of his sins, right? He said, "I'm going to give this money to the poor. I'm going to pay back the people that I've defrauded," all those things. It was a simple meal that Jesus invited himself into at Zacchaeus' home. And through that simple meal, an entire life was transformed and changed for the better. Amen? Do we see that? So this is what happens when we sit at Jesus' table. This is not just for Zacchaeus and Levi and all these that we read about in the Bible. This is for all of us, right? It's not just a meal. It's a moment of transformation. This table becomes the place where grace flows. It's where brokenness is healed for each of us and where lives get changed forever. So when we think about our own lives, how many of us have experienced transformation just by sitting at the table of Jesus? At one point in your life, like I hope everybody can raise their hand that there's been a point that you've sat at Jesus' table and you've experienced this change, you've experienced this transformation. I hope we can all say that. It's not about a meal, it's not a literal meal, of course. It's just a moment where we felt Jesus invite us into his presence. We accepted, and then his grace covered us, and we felt a change, and we found something new. So here's a question I have for each of you today. Who is sitting at your table? And I want you to really think about that. Jesus invites us to model his example, to break down those barriers, and welcome the unlikely into our lives. So who in your life have you been keeping at arm's length? Like not letting them get just too close. You're not ready to enter into a relationship with them. Or who is someone you find hard to engage in with, right? To have conversation with, to let into your space. Maybe it's someone who looks different than you. Maybe it's someone who thinks differently than you. Maybe it's someone who makes life choices that you don't necessarily agree with. Like who are those people? Jesus shows us that his table is open to everyone, even those arm-length people, even those people that we find it hard to engage with, those people that we don't want to have near us. He opens his table to everyone, and he invites us to do the same. So my challenge for you guys today on this point is to reflect on who you can invite into your life. So think about the people that you can invite into your life this week and every week. Who can you have sit at your table, come into your community, enter into conversation? Maybe it's someone you wouldn't normally want to hang out with, right? Maybe it's someone who you've been avoiding for one reason or another. We all have that in our lives. But Jesus invites us to make room even for them at our table and in our life so that they can experience that grace that only Jesus can offer. He calls us not just to sit at his table, us personally, to come and sit at his table, but to extend this table to others. And as we do, we're going to become partners with him in sharing his mission and his love and his grace with everyone around us. Agreed? All right. Let's keep going. All right, we're going to go into Luke chapter 14. I think it's beginning with verse 14. It might be 15. I can't remember. Anyway, before this, let me just preface this. So right before these words are spoken, Jesus is talking to this table of people, and he's explaining who they should be inviting to the banquet, right? So he's explaining all that. So that's where we're picking up right here. So when one of those who reclined at the table with him heard these things, he said to him, "Blessed is everyone who will eat bread in the kingdom of God." But he said to him, Jesus said to the guy who just said that, "A man once gave a great banquet and invited many. And at the time for the banquet, he sent his servant to say to those who have been invited, 'Come, for everything is now ready.' But they all alike began to make excuses. The first one said, I have bought a field, and I must go out and see it. Please have me excused. Another said, I have bought 5 yoke of oxen, and I have to go examine them. Please have me excused. And another said, I've married a wife, therefore I can't come. I don't get that one. That one just kind of sticks out a little bit, right? So got married, not allowed to go out anymore. So I cannot come. So the servant came and reported these things to his master. Then the master of the house became angry, and he said to the servant, go out quickly to the streets and lanes of the city and bring in the poor, the crippled, and the blind, and the lame. And the servant said, sir, what you commanded has been done, and still there's room. And the master said to the servant, go out to the highways and hedges and compel people to come in that my house may be filled. So in these verses, Jesus shares this parable that beautifully illustrates the power and challenge of an invitation. The story begins with a man preparing this banquet, inviting people who said they were going to come. And then when the time was to come, their hamsters got in the way and they didn't show up, right? So what did he do? Did he sit there at an empty table? No. One by one, after they declined, he went on to invite others. He didn't stop there. He kept inviting. So we see a beautiful picture of God's kingdom. His invitation to us to come to and feast at his table. Yet just like the people in the story, how often do we make excuses when Jesus invites us into something? The excuses may seem valid in the moment. We might say, I'm too busy with work. I need to take care of my family, right? All these excuses were there, or I'm dealing with too much right now, or I have to take care of my hamster, right? These excuses, while sometimes understandable, in the moment can prevent us from accepting the most important invitation of all, and that's an invitation to come and sit with Jesus and let him do something in our lives. The excuses in the parable are not unique to the people in the parable. They're you and me, right? They fall. Maybe we feel like we are unworthy. Maybe we feel like if I can't come to this table because I have a past. I've done this in the past. I did this yesterday, right? I'm still struggling with this part of my life. Like there's so many things we could be saying, like I can't come to Jesus's table because I'm not worthy to be there. Maybe we're distracted. Maybe we're too focused on other things, focused on work or, you know, family or a hamster, whatever it is. Who knows? We just don't realize how special and how valuable this invitation is. We kind of overlook that. But the truth is, just as in the parable, Jesus doesn't take back his invitation when we make excuses. He keeps inviting. He keeps pursuing. And he expands the table to include everyone, including me and you. The broken, the hurting, the overlooked, his table is always open. So today, Jesus extends that same invitation to you and me, just like the people in the parable. We've all been invited to the great banquet, right? Here's the table. And just like them, we often find ourselves making those excuses. We prioritize other things. We push Jesus to the margins. Who's ever done that? We convince ourselves, I'll have time for him later. I'm just a little too busy right now. He'll be there when I need him. But Jesus' invitation is not just to an event. It's not just to sit down for a meal. It's into relationship. It's to come close to him, to experience his presence, his grace, and his love. And the beauty of the invitation is that we don't need to have it all together to accept it. Let me say that again. You do not need to have your act together to accept this invitation. The guests in the parable who finally did come, they were not the elite. They were not powerful. They had nothing to offer, right? They were blind. They were lame. They were broken. They were the people that didn't have anything to offer back. They were literally there to receive. And this is the kind of invitation that Jesus extends to each and every single one of us sitting in this room and beyond. Not just us, to everyone. He invites us just as we are. Broken, messy, imperfect. I mean, who here is perfect? Nobody. He invites us just as we are. And he's not looking for us to clean ourselves up before we come. He's just looking for us to say, okay, I accept your invitation and come. So this invitation is powerful as long as we don't ignore it and as long as we don't let our hamsters keep us from accepting it. Amen? All right, so let me ask you this. What excuses have you been making? I don't want you to answer that, but I'm just asking, giving you a moment to think about it. So what excuses have you been making when Jesus invites you into a deeper relationship with him? Maybe you've been prioritizing your work. Your schedule feels overwhelming. Who feels overwhelmed with their schedules these days, right? Like, I'm pretty sure we all do. You keep telling yourself that you'll connect with Jesus later when things are less chaotic. I got news for you. They're never going to be less chaotic, right? It's not going to change. You're just going to keep pushing it off. Or maybe it's just simply that you don't feel worthy of the invitation. Maybe you just feel like you're not good enough to come and sit at his table. But the reality is, Jesus is still inviting you. It doesn't matter how you feel about that. He is still extending that invitation to you. And just as he did in the parable, he's going to keep inviting you to come. No excuses necessary. Amen. So as you think about your week ahead, I want you to consider how Jesus is inviting you personally into deeper relationship with him. Okay? I want you to think about what's holding you back from accepting this invitation to him. What are you prioritizing over his invitation? And most importantly, what would it look like if you actually accepted it? I want you to get that visual in your mind. If I stop making my excuses, I stop pushing him to the side, and I say, yes, Jesus, I'm going to come into this that you're calling me to, whatever your personal call is, what's your life going to look like when you accept that invitation? Because remember, asking you to have it all figured out. You don't have to have it figured out. You just need to come. When he says, follow me, say, okay, and come, just like Levi and Zacchaeus did. All right, let's go into Matthew. We're going to look at Matthew 28, because here's the thing. This table is a place of mission, and we can't overlook that piece. So Matthew 28, starting with 18, this is at the end of Jesus' earthly ministry. And he leaves his disciples with a command that we now call the Great Commission. You've probably heard of it. And this is what it says in Matthew 28, 18 through 20. And Jesus came and said to them, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always to the end of the age. So Jesus didn't tell his disciples, stay here right where you are, continuing gathering around the same tables, continue gathering with the same people you're gathering with. He didn't tell them to keep this message that he had given them for themselves. He didn't say, hey, here's my love. You keep it for yourself. This is just for you. He gave them one commandment, and it was a one-word commandment at that, go. So the Great Commission is essentially Jesus saying, take this table with you everywhere you go. Invite everyone you meet. Make disciples of all nations. This table is mobile, okay? You don't want to be a restaurant. You want to be a food truck. You don't want people to come to you. You want to go to them. We understand the concept of a food truck, right? Like, you get out there, you go to where the people are, and you share this message. Throughout his ministry, we see that Jesus was constantly on the move. He sat at lots of tables. He shared lots of meals in lots of different places with lots of different people. We see it out throughout all of Scripture. He never stayed in one place. He brought this table with him wherever he went, whoever's house he sat in. This table came with him, this table of friendship, this table of grace, this table of transformation. It was always with him. So whether he was sitting with tax collectors and sinners, or having a meal with his disciples, or feeding thousands on a hillside, the table was always with him. He was not limited by location, and we're not called to be limited by our location. In this Great Commission, Jesus is essentially telling his disciples, your turn, like tag, you're it, right? I'm at the end of my ministry here on earth. Your turn. Take this table, take the message of my love, the message of my grace, and bring it to the world. Invite from every nation, every background, and every walk of life to this table, because this table is not just for us to enjoy. The people who are hearing my voice right now, sitting in this room, this table is not just for us. Jesus' invitation does not end when we leave this room today. It needs to go with us out into the world. Take your food truck wherever you're going. So just as Jesus commanded his disciples to go, he is also sending us out from this table today. We don't come to the table just to receive for ourselves, right? That's not the point. We come and we receive, yes, but that's not the only goal. We come to be empowered to share that same grace that he offers us with the others that he puts into our path. So communion is a great reminder that we're fed so that we can feed others. We're loved so we can love others. We're welcome so we can welcome others. We need to extend that out into the world. It's not confined to this room. His love and grace go with us. We're invited to take the spirit of this table. Because again, this is just an illustration. I don't want you picking the table up and dragging it anywhere, right? This is an illustration of Jesus's relationship with us. You're to take the spirit of this table with you everywhere you go. So we're asking you to do that. And later today, when we come and we take communion from here, from this beautiful table, it's not just about coming to Jesus to receive, right? It's also about being sent out. When we take the bread and we take the cup, we are reminded of the incredible love of our Savior. We're reminded of his sacrifice when we take the bread and we take the cup, the incredible grace that he extended us. But we're also reminded that we have a mission and we're to take it out into the world. So what does this look like in our lives? Because I'm sure you're like, well, what does that mean, right? Like you get the physical aspect of picking a table up and going, but that's not possible. I don't think any of us could pick this table up and take it all on our own. So what does it look like? It starts with how we interact with the people around us, the people that God is putting in our paths. Who can you reach with the love of Jesus and the hospitality of Jesus, what he has shown you? Who can you reach with that? Maybe it's a neighbor. Maybe it's a coworker. Maybe it's your spouse. Maybe it's your child. You know, maybe it's the lady at the grocery store. It doesn't matter. It can be anyone. So who can you reach with this message of love and grace? We often think of mission as something that we do out there, overseas, somewhere else, right? So a lot of times that's what you think when you hear the word mission. But the truth is, mission happens wherever you are. It can happen in this room. It can happen in your home. It can happen in your workplace. It can happen in the grocery store. It can happen pumping gas. It doesn't matter. Mission happens wherever you are. You do not have to leave the soil of the United States or even Steel Creek to be on mission. So I want to challenge you. All right, this week I want to challenge you. Who is Jesus sending to you? Who is Jesus putting in your path? Who is he opening your eyes to? Who can you invite into your life, into a deeper conversation, a deeper connection? Who can you extend a welcome to Jesus's table to? So keep your eyes open, because he is, again, he does not mean for this to stay right here. He doesn't mean for it to stay just in your home. It's not stationary. It's meant to be shared. It's meant to be carried and extended to everybody that we meet. So when we go from here and we take our table with us, or the spirit of our table, into our relationships and into our conversations, into every corner of the world. Fair enough? All right, so hopefully you can see we got missions. All right, so as I've been going through this morning, I've been kind of giving you a couple key points of things that I'm calling you to do, right? So anyone who knows me knows I like to have like a good 4-point plan or a 3-point plan or a 5-point plan. It just depends on how many points I come up with. I always have a plan. So I'm going to reiterate a little bit my 4 points that I was kind of laying out today, just so you can take this with you as you leave. So number one, your first challenge this week is invite someone to your table. Look around you. Who are you keeping at arm's distance, right? Who have you not been inviting in? Invite someone to your table. And I'm not saying literally to your table. It could be literally to your kitchen table. But who could you invite in to relationship with you? Number two, live in the spirit of this table. We just talked a lot about that. This table is more than a physical place. It's a spirit of love, friendship, and that shared mission. So throughout your week, carry the spirit of Jesus's table with you everywhere you go. Take that spirit into every conversation, every interaction, smiling at somebody in the grocery store or helping someone pick something up, helping a coworker do a project, whatever. Take the spirit of this table with you wherever you go and share it. Third point, turn your table into a food truck, right? Don't keep it at home. You've got to take it out into your communities and into all the places that you're going. Take it mobile, and the food truck is a great way to look at that. And then number four, remember and reflect on Jesus's invitation to you. So I want you to think a little bit today as you're coming and sharing in communion with us. I want you to reflect on Jesus's invitation to you. We each have different invitations at different times, right? Like Jesus might be calling you to go deeper with him. Jesus might be calling you to go out and do something into the world, right? Jesus's call for each of us is a personal thing. We have a personal relationship with Christ. So think about what he's inviting you into this week. This communion that we take today is going to be a powerful reminder of that, okay? So think about that before you come. Think about these points that we just talked about. Who can you be inviting? Who do you need to be investing in? Who do you need to let in a little bit? Who do you need to put your arm down so they can get a little bit closer to you, right? So be thinking about those things as you come for communion today. Because Jesus' table doesn't end here. I can't reiterate this enough. Jesus' table does not end right here in this room. This table invites you into a relationship, and this table invites you to go on mission, to take this table with you wherever you go. And when you go out there, remember the love, the grace, the forgiveness, all those things that you've experienced because you took the time to accept the invitation and sit at Jesus' table. Amen? Amen. Let's pray. Gracious Father, I just want to pray for you to have our hearts open wide, God. I want to pray for our eyes to be open, to see all the people around us, God, because we know that you are placing people in our path each and every day, God. So I just pray that as we walk into our days, as we walk into our weeks and our workplaces and all the places we go, God, that you open our eyes to see who you're placing in our path, God. I pray for us to be bold. I pray for us to have courage. I pray for us to invite people in. And I pray for us to remember, God, that we don't have to have our acts together. We don't have to be perfect. We can still be messy, but we can still share your love and grace with everyone that we meet, God. We thank you for loving us. We thank you for being our perfect example. We thank you for the illustration of the table and how it helps us understand our relationship with you better, God. So go with us this week. Be with us in all that we do. Thank you for going before us, beside us, and behind us. It's in the precious name of your Son, Jesus, we pray. And all God's children say, amen. Amen. Thank you.
Amen. Thank you, Michelle, for that. Give her some encouragement. What a powerful word and reminder for every one of us. Give me your tired, your poor, your huddled masses yearning to breathe free. Sounds like the parable of the banquet, doesn't it? It's actually written on the Statue of Liberty. We realize that what Jesus is seeking to do is to gather people that don't have it all together. And the Bible reminds us that none of us do. In fact, the thing that usually keeps us from the table is not humility, but pride. It's not thinking that God can do anything for me or I'm really all together. But the Bible says that we all fall short of the glory of God and we need a Savior. That's the reality. We don't get to heaven because we're good. We get to heaven because of what Jesus did on the cross. And he says, come to the table. It's a table of freedom, table of transformation, a table of forgiveness, and invites you to come. You know, one of the things I love about this church is there are many that don't feel like they belong to church. There's a lot of people that don't feel like this is a place they're allowed to come because they don't fit in because of a style of life or a way of thinking. They've already excluded themselves of what they believe Jesus is like. And the reality is, we're about the Word of God, and we're about bringing people to Jesus because he's the only one that transforms lives. He says, come to the table. When he says in the story, may the crippled, the blind, the broken, what he's saying is, all come. Let me engage your life. And the song, the last song we sang is, he's our identity. We want to find it in him, and we can't find it until we sit at the table. We will find all kinds of ways that we want to fill ourselves, but we'll find it when we sit here. Now, some of you may have come in the room today and you've never asked the Lord Jesus to be the master of your life. Maybe you've never received the invitation. Maybe you've come for communion before. Maybe you've sat there, but you've never said, I'm turning my life over to Christ. So therefore, every week you go out, nothing's really changed in your heart. As we prepare our hearts for communion today, I want us to pray together for the Lord to come in and become real in every one of us. Let's bow our heads and pray. Gracious Heavenly Father, here we are. We stand before you, we sit before you. We realize your presence and your holiness. We realize what you have done on the cross, the sacrifice of life so that we may live, a sacrifice that forgives us of our sins and gives us a new walk and a new way with you. Father, we confess that many times we don't come to you ready to receive you, that we still stand at a distance. But Father, today we pray that you will be the Lord of our lives, the master of our lives, that you will run the show and not us. We admit that we are sinful and we're broken and we need direction and we need the value that only you can give and not what the world tries to tell us or remind us. Today, we relinquish our will to your will and our way to your way. And as we come to this table and receive the bread and the cup, we do so because we know we need your forgiveness and we need the power of transformation that comes when you lead us, and we are grateful. So for your grace and mercy, we thank you. For your blessing of life, we give you praise. For the invitation to the table that is always open, here we come. In Jesus' name, amen.